Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore says he's being attacked from all sides. Appearing at a rally last night where Steve Bannon joined him, Moore said all aspects of his life are under attack, including his character. A number of women have accused Moore of sexual misconduct when they were teens, and he was in his 30s. Federal Reserve Governor Jerome Powell's a step closer to being confirmed as the new chairman of the Fed. Here's
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to The Human Side. I'm your co-host, Dave White, along with my partner in crime, Art Nevins, who is a local attorney here. And today we have a very special guest. We have a Mr. Ronald Allyn, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a few seconds, but which should be a very interesting show for us today. By way of introduction, Ron is both the founder of his own consulting company, which is, has the name of Managing Change, but he is also a kindred soul in terms of he's the producer and host of his own internet radio program on Internet Blog Talk Radio, which is also pretty much focuses on change management. So originally from Britain, Ron's going to tell us a little bit more about how he ended up coming over to this country, and he's certified in IT project management and got that from New Jersey Institute of Technology, as well as a number of other certificates from training associates in the Radio Advertising Bureau. So, Ron, let me welcome you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's... Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Like always, yeah. Chugging along.
That's one word for it. The other words I probably can't say over the radio.
I prefer you didn't.
Yeah, that's okay. Ron, tell us a little bit more about how you ended up coming over to this country, because originally you were from Britain, correct?
Yes, Dave. I was born, as we say, you can Google my home address, 33 Foxbourne Road in London, Southwest 17. And it was actually, it all started with my mother's sister. She's one of 13 children.
Wow.
Who was here in the States since the early 50s.
Okay.
And she invited my mother because she said, the money is in America. Whereas my mother went to England because she wanted her kids to be educated in the traditional English
school system.
School system.
Right.
So in 69, my mother came here first off. She was a registered nurse, so she was able to make considerable money.
Mm-hmm.
And our standard of living, yes, it did rise.
Did it really?
Yes,
okay.
Significantly.
Now, how old were you at that time?
Oh, my goodness. I must have been 6, 7.
Okay.
About 6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a vivid memories of the change? Because it had to be a big change for you.
Absolutely. What was most interesting, you may recall three characters, Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood, and John Wayne.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're old enough that we know all three of them.
And to me, that was America, which was very frightening.
Uh-huh.
And ironically...
That was the picture you had.
That was the picture, that was the image. Not only did you have skyscrapers, your cars were as long as street blocks.
Yeah, big.
Moreover, you had this violent tendency, which... Ironically, when we came to the airport...
Violent. Is that what you said? Violent tendency?
Violence.
Understatement, right?
Yeah. Well, we've talked about that.
Yes.
You don't see other countries with the same kinds of killings with guns that we've got in this country. That goes back to the Wild West kind of thing.
It's the way the country was settled, and so we all have to adapt.
Yes, we do.
The one thing, though, which was so funny, when my brother and I did first come over, and we landed, I think it was in Kennedy.
Okay.
There was a police person beating on the back of a taxi saying, "Hey, buddy, move it." And it happened to be a woman. I didn't know at first.
The police officer.
And she had her baton out, smacking the top of the cab.
On the back of the cab. Saying,
and
hey,
you said, "Oh, my God."
And I looked at my brother and said, "See?"
You thought I was exaggerating.
It's funny. My wife is from Scotland, and she, before she came here, she had and she was much older than you were, but exactly the same trepidations. She absolutely pictured herself being picked up and suffering months in a southern jail. And she always talks about that. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how old was Mandy when she came over here?
Old enough to know better, I suppose.
Apparently not.
She had to be 23, 24.
Okay. Did she come over by herself with family here?
No,
that's right, because her family was back in Scotland and Spain.
Family, yep.
Wow. Okay.
That's interesting you say that. If I can just interject, my mother's maiden name is McFarlane.
Oh, that sounds like a Scottish. MAC.
It is, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely Scottish.
That is Scottish. So
sure.
We're now actually in the quest of finding out our clan and our kilt.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, good luck.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. My name comes somehow, it's associated with the Isle of Wight. Don't ask me how or why. Something about a shipwreck. But Isle of Wight is English, and I'm predominantly Scottish, so...
Well, we know the history between
Scotland and England.
Yeah.
Well, the Romans actually created Hadrian's Wall.
Right.
Built Hadrian's Wall.
And that's where it began.
And yet, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Romans found out what happened once they went beyond Hadrian's Wall.
Well, that's why they had the wall there.
We never saw them again. They were digested by the Scots.
People could learn a thing or two today. Oops.
Yeah.
My grandfather was 100% Scottish, and he was an attorney, and he grew up in the Catskills, and he always used to say to my father, he said, "You know, the stupid Scots, they come all the way over to this country with all this land all over their pit place, and they miss their Bonnie Hills, so they climb up into the rocks and try to make a living farming up there."
Yeah, true.
You know? But, you know, you're used to what you're used to. I don't like flat land. I really don't. I need some hills
and slopes.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Well, Ithaca has some beautiful driving roads. If you want undulating.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Cayuga is just beautiful.
Get a stick shift.
Well, yeah. plus they've got they've got all the waterfalls up there.
Yes.
There's some very scenic spots up there. Only problem with Ithaca is winter. I mean, when I went up there, no one told me how cold it got.
Yeah,
they neglected to bring that up.
Yeah.
So you came over here when you were about, what, 9, you said? Or 6 years old?
About 6 or 7, back and forth.
Okay.
My parents put me into Prior Park College. Again, you can actually Google this college.
Okay.
Prior Park Prep School is in Swindon, which is Avon, England. And then, of course, you have Prior Park College, which is the older age students. At the time, we had an educational system that gave us O levels, ordinary levels, and A, advanced level studies.
Okay, those three tiers.
Three tiers.
Like tracks. Yeah.
Now they've done away with the O levels, and they just have advanced levels.
Okay.
They also removed the brothers from the college, which in hindsight, we'll leave that conversation alone as well.
So this was a religion-backed?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You can actually look up Robert Allen being the purveyor who started the college.
Okay.
And then the brothers were the administrators, and they had some lay teachers as well.
Right.
Today, and I actually went back and I interviewed the current headmaster,
Of the school.
Of the school, and that's where I learned that they changed O levels and A levels. They removed the brothers, and so
it was more secular. It was no longer religion based.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Roman Catholic.
Right.
And now they've brought girls in.
Oh wow!
And this was a private live-in boarding school. But I understand in America, if you say boarding school, it has certain connotations, as in disciplinary school. Is that correct?
I guess we probably use the term prep school more than boarding school.
Right.
Which
it depends on the context, yeah. I think. I mean, I think we're all familiar with those kids that were in public school and maybe for disciplinary reasons had to be sent to boarding school. I think it's more taken for granted in England and in Scotland that boarding school, if you're any kind of a student or want to be a student, you'd probably go to a boarding school, isn't that?
To a great extent, the private school, which is interesting, when I said I went to a public school in England,
right?
A public school over here is less privileged. It's the regular
That's
schools
right.
that
okay.
students will attend.
Right.
So the educational nomenclature is the reverse.
So what was biggest adjustment? We've got a break for a commercial in a few minutes. But what was the biggest adjustment you had to make as a young child coming over?
I think the cultural difference of terms, words, people not being familiar, which I found very surprising, with what you consider an African-American, speaking the way I spoke, especially 30 years ago.
Right.
Today, I don't think I have an accent.
Yeah, you do.
Which some people say I do, and that's okay. That's okay.
It's very nice.
It's a nice accent, don't get me wrong.
It's uplifting.
I mean, as far as the English are concerned, we butcher the English language, but...
So I would say, in general, it was cultural... people's sensitivities. There's not such an acceptance of differences. You had to
here,
over here in America.
Yeah.
Right? If they see you, they've got a presumption of who and what you are, and
they make judgments quicker.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and stereotypes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break here for a couple commercials, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Human Side, and our guest today is Mr. Ronald Allen.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Quick look at the weather, folks, here in the Flemington area. Right now we've got 40 degrees, though it seems colder than that, at least walking in here. But in any case, on Thursday, it should warm up a little bit. It'll be sunny skies, a little nicer day than we had today, and a high of 45 degrees. Friday, back to cloudy skies and a high of 40 degrees, so the temperature is going to be dropping a little bit. And Saturday looks like partly cloudy and a high of 39, so it's not going to change too much. So I guess we're gradually getting into fall weather, so to speak. So. Yeah, the older I get, the less I like winter. But that's just me. Okay, let's. We got one more commercial, and then we'll continue our conversation with Mr. Allen.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay. So, Ron, basically what brought your family over here was they were looking to improve their standard of living. For the most part. Okay. Now, take us through some of the things that you did, you know, as an adult or as a young adult, leading up to your starting your own consulting firm.
Well, we'll have to bleep out the first 5 years. No, not really. Coming over here, I had been coming back and forth between intermission of school breaks at school, so I was starting to become somewhat familiar.
You were still going to school where now at this point?
At Pride Park Prep School.
Back in England?
Yep, absolutely.
Really?
So Christmas, summer, even Easter. My mother would fly us over here.
Right.
And to that very point, Dave, one of the comments I said to my mother was, it's like getting on a bus. Can you imagine?
No.
Flying. And at the time, the 747 was the brand new super jet airplane.
Right.
So was 3 or 4 times a year flying over here. So I felt I was very privileged, and I didn't take it for granted. When I was over here, I did some studies at a local college, Seton Hall. Some of you may know.
Oh, sure.
Seton Hall, where my sister actually graduated.
Yeah, South Orange.
Yep, South Orange, and it's grown tremendously.
Yes, it has.
And then I also did some jobs. So I was always active.
Okay.
I was always involved. My mother had started buying some real estate.
Ah.
Yep. Sorry.
An entrepreneur.
Yep. Sorry, Donald Trump. You weren't the first. So we had a few pieces of real estate. We didn't really understand it at our age, but we certainly benefited from it.
Okay.
Later on in life, we actually managed it for my mother.
Now, were these rental properties that she had?
3 and 4 family rental properties.
She that was great.
To get in with her clients,
yeah,
who told her, you've got to buy real estate.
Okay.
And invest. Which some of my family members didn't really understand. They didn't appreciate that. And others said, you know what? Yep, this is the way to go.
Okay.
That's often been the American immigrant way to get ahead, right?
And it still is. It really is. My interest, though, as I continued coming over here, was in the arts.
Really?
I attended FIT in New York
for
interior design. I had my own consulting business for about 9 years, but I did find for interior design and visual merchandising.
Really?
Yeah. I was in the rag trade for a while.
So how did you get from that profession into you were doing IT consulting at one point in time, were you not?
I am still doing a certain level. I did the Morgan Stanley Smith Barney merge.
Really?
That was 3.5 years, and that was heavy IT, helping the
The integration.
Very educated associates work with the new platforms, the new systems, the dashboards, the interfacing.
Sure.
So how did that all morph? My mother got ill after about 9 or 10 years I was in interior design, and my brother said, no, you have to come home and help out.
Oh, geez. How old were, now, was he the younger or older brother?
I'm the youngest. My sister is 1 year older than I, so she's now about 61.
All right.
And my brother is now about 62,
63. Okay.
So what happened was, when I came back to help my mother, I kind of let my business slide.
Sure.
And for about 6 years, my relationship with my mother totally changed, because she became incapable of taking care of herself, and I was kind of the chosen
caretaker.
The caretaker.
That's a rough role.
Well, it's a role that I think more of us should realize. If we have parents that have nourished us, and not everyone has parents that nourish us, that
right,
cultivate us in the right way, it is only natural that we give a portion of our time back. And I know that's another topic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get you would think so. But not everyone feels that way.
Absolutely. And so, you, as the Fleetwood Mac says, you have to go your own way.
Yeah.
Right?
And you got to live with yourself.
You've got to live with yourself. So, So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So I stumbled on mortgage banking, and for the next 20 years, I went into secondary mortgage services. I did originations. I did training. I did FHA, VA, the whole gamut.
So you were basically in the mortgage and real estate area?
Yes.
Working independently or working with a bank?
The real estate was with a separate small office out of Metuchen called Capital Realty. And I got my license and appraisal and certification in 88 through an independent school called the Professional School in Millburn.
Okay, sure.
And then I got my state license to be a correspondent lender when I did a number of years as an originator and secondary market. I even did some underwriting.
So and you did that for how many years, Juan?
The better part of 20 years.
Better part of 20 years.
Yeah,
20 years. And from there you went into...
Well, you know, when you see the writing on the wall, you either get squashed or you make the change.
Right.
You're lucky you saw the writing on the wall.
When was this now? Was this
2005, 2006.
Okay, so you saw...
Yeah, it was changing.
The real estate market was not heading in a good direction.
When you have 1.5% interest rates and the average on the 30-year, 10-year bond is 6.25%.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And then I was following Sandy Weil, who people may know was building Citibank. And he had a conference one day, and he said some of his executives came in with these things called derivatives.
Oh, geez.
And he knew he had to leave because he didn't understand them.
The people who were writing them didn't understand them.
Right. So it's an index on an index on an index on the hope that the margin...
Yeah.
Will return a favorable rate.
Yeah, someone described it to me as you're making a bet on a bet that someone else makes,
yes,
who is being bet on, and it just keeps going and going and going.
The joke is American Ponzi scheme was with Madoff, and the European Ponzi scheme was with Greece.
Okay.
There's an analogy there. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So from mortgage banking, it sounds like you got out just in time.
Yep.
You moved over into what?
I was starting to do a lot of training, underwriting training, origination, sales. And I realized it's not the technicals and the fundamentals that we're missing, but rather what is the meaning we subscribe to the work that we do?
All right.
So I said, well, is it psychology? And I looked at Gestalt theory, I looked at Freudian theory, but these were long, drawn-out sessions in private, and you're spending all this money, and you're walking out more confused than when you walked in.
Okay.
And I stumbled on some people who were doing strategic interventions, leadership with Ken Blanchard, for example.
Sure.
Dr. Chloe Medanes and Anthony Robbins, who've been doing this for 30 years.
Okay.
And I said...
I can understand this.
Exactly. And I can move myself past every day waking up saying, I don't want to go to work, to choosing this is meaningful work for me.
All right.
Because if you look at two statisticians, Edward Deming, Dr. Edward Deming,
sure,
who helped build the Japanese Empire.
Right, and the whole quality movement.
Exactly. And Edward Deming and Peter Drucker.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about when you embrace a person's culture, you embrace a person's theology, you begin to craft a relationship that is so unique, and the expression is they will die for you, because you have welcomed their thinking.
Okay.
And now you work together to get a mutual outcome.
So you have to you need that common ground in terms of the same way of thinking in some ways.
You need to cultivate rapport that says, I acknowledge you're different.
Right.
Let's see how that difference can be applied in the real world, rubber meeting the road, so that we can gain the kind of outcome that we're looking for.
Well, I mean, you know, I one of the things I've studied a lot is team building, and, you know, it's really interesting. The more diverse and different the team members are, it takes longer for them to form a team, but long term they will be more effective because they've learned to manage their differences, and they include everyone's perspective in that, as opposed to, you know, if everyone just looks at it the same way, you're going to have blind spots.
Exactly. If you look at how the European royalty families were literally inbreeding, they thought that was the safe way to protect their assets, their interests.
Yeah.
The DNA starts
got narrow,
to
narrow. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you think of some, the challenge right today is, well, if you have a different opinion, it doesn't align with mine. Yet we haven't taken the time to identify the nuances,
right,
and how those differences can be applied at different way, in different ways, different percentages to solve a problem.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, and you know, most people find differences threatening.
Absolutely, you know. Absolutely.
So you started going into the leadership and some of the training areas, managerial training and things like that?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I know eventually you morphed into or gravitated toward project management. How did that happen?
I did project management because, how did I get into project management? Oh, the state was offering some complimentary courses that I could pay a smaller amount than what the general market would command.
Okay.
And I looked at project management, and people kept telling me it's a great process where you take...
A very valuable process.
Exactly. 5 process groups, 10 knowledge areas, and right now 47 processes, and you're walking through these steps
right.
to see what is the best combination, like making a cake.
Okay.
So when I did the course, I loved it. Then someone on LinkedIn from India called me up and said, Mr. Allen, I see you have a certificate from NJIT. Do you teach project management?
From India?
From India on LinkedIn. Absolutely fantastic.
From out of the blue?
Out of the blue. She just picked me.
Oh, that's cool.
Out of the blue. And what I love is, number one, we've never met. I've never met any of their staff. They have an office in Texas. I've been teaching for 14 months. So now, imagine, what would you pay to get access to people from different industries, different levels within the industry,
mm-hmm.
that they come and share with you their challenges, and your work is to align the interests, communications, and engagement of their employees.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's a big, yeah, but it's a big undertaking.
Absolutely. So in the training, I always tell that it's called taking people to a safe island. I tell them, you have the professional knowledge in your space.
Right.
I want you to just park that on the side and realize what we're doing in the next 4 days, because it's a boot camp for 4 days. I want you to pass the test. We're not competing with your knowledge of how you do things.
Right.
We're not saying that your process at work is right or wrong. We are getting you to pass the test. So I need you to pick up your academic learning style.
Okay.
And apply it accordingly.
All right. Yeah. Interesting. Now, are you still doing project management training?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For the same Indian India company?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Well, I want to go into the whole issue of change management, because I know you've sort of put those two together, and I'm curious to see how that happened. But right now, folks, we got to take another quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You are listening to The Human Side on the Hunter and Chamber Internet Radio Station.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. You're listening to The Human Side on the Hunterdon Chamber Internet radio station. And our special guest today is Mr. Ronald Allen, who is talking us about his journey, so to speak, right? Now, when did you actually start up your consulting firm?
I actually started in 2007.
Okay. So it was shortly after you got out of the mortgage business.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then I actually registered back in New Jersey because I thought I was being smart registering it in Delaware State. But I was paying $600 a year for no real reason other than thinking it was cool, it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
So after some proper advice and consulting, which I believe in coaching, for example, I came back into New Jersey and re-registered the business in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I had done some contracts with HP, Hewlett Packard.
Sure.
I had done contracts with J.P. Morgan and the robo-signing.
Were these IT or project management projects, or what kind of projects were they, Ron?
They were a combination of IT because that's the underlying base of the platform that we use to train people.
Okay.
It was made, a good portion was change management, engaging employees.
Because of the new, they were getting a new platform like SAP training or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Even the frontline employees and salespeople had to understand the new process,
right,
policies and procedures, and how it impacted on their commission structure.
Well, that should get their attention.
Certainly. And in fact, with Sprint acquiring Radio Shack and subsequently selling it off,
right,
like Mercedes did with Chrysler, those were the types of projects that I've been fortunate enough to be engaged in.
Okay. So tell us more about the integration of project management and change management.
Well, project management, as we know, is process-driven, and most people think of it as manufacturing and IT. So that's a small scope of industries that most people think about.
Yeah, because it's very often applied in those two areas.
Certainly, and that's where it grew out of.
Right. Right.
That's it's kind of in beginnings. In my training, I've had people from the Department of Transportation. I've had people from social services.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so wonderful, I had two people, three in all, but there were two groups. One was implementing an IT process. One was implementing policies and procedures.
Wow.
And they both used project management to facilitate that.
Did they need to be working in conjunction with each other? Or
no,
they didn't know overlap?
No, they were totally separate companies.
Okay.
Totally separate.
Oh, okay. All right.
So these are people, many people who are coming for certification,
right,
have years in the field. As we've noticed on a national basis.
They just didn't have the formal certificate.
Well, that's true, and across the country right now, the Department of Workforce Development and Labor,
mm-hmm,
is pushing for certification because it certainly says that that is the benchmark, whether it's health, manufacturing, IT, even hospitality.
Sure.
They're all looking for a certain level of certification because...
Certain level of knowledge.
Certain level of knowledge.
Right. But how about the integration of project management and change management? Tell us a little more about that.
Again, I always tell people, you have Google. It's the most incredible tool on the planet. I had to get up out of my bed, walk down the road, out of my house, in rain or snow or what have you, and go to a library and look at a hard piece of paper, which was probably 6 months already old,
right,
if not years old in terms of its information relevance. I stumbled on, through my research on the internet, of a company called ProSci.
I've heard of them, yes. Right. Pro-Sonics. They have a very distinct change management model.
Exactly. And what they were looking and have achieved is the integration of the human element, change management, and process management, which is project management.
All right.
Now, within project management, there is change management processes.
Okay.
So you're changing the process of how you work through an issue.
Right.
It is the people side which is the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
And if I can just interject here, there's another element that I was also privy to stumble on. Going to an event in Delaware, this gentleman introduces me to this concept called shelling point. It's about alignment optimization. And it's very simple, yet it's very, very sophisticated.
Yeah, it doesn't sound simple.
Well, it's so sophisticated that actually the gentleman that created it is a Nobel Prize laureate.
All right.
So I'm very pleased that with my minuscule, humble education,
right,
I'm able to be associated with this incredible SAS, S small AA, capital S, SAS system.
Okay.
And what it does is it takes benefit, goals, and objectives of conversation.
Ah.
Right? It's the conversation that creates the disconnect in projects. So if the three of us are talking and saying, well, okay, we want to leave this room, we can leave the room through the door, we can leave the room through the window, we can punch holes in the ceiling or the floor.
Okay. Right? They might take exception to the latter two, but that's okay.
At least we can open the window, right?
I hope Chris isn't listening.
Oh, you're the one who climbed out the window in with the college hospital with bed sheets.
I wanted out.
I didn't know I was opening up Pandora.
That's another story. Well, we'll save that one, Ron.
So it's the conversation that triggers the disconnect. If there's a fire on the outside of the door, then we may have to look at the other options.
Right.
If the interest of a stakeholder, the incentive, the leverage, is to use the fire department's ladder because they get funding from the county.
They're going to have a bias toward that.
The incentive is to use the window.
Right.
On the other hand, if I've just invented this incredible tool that can bore through 12 inches of old 18th century hard oak or timber.
You'd like the opportunity to use that.
I would love to use it.
Sure.
So I use those analogies because people kind of get lost again in the manufacturing and IT perspective. So blending project management.
Well, do you get those issues on the table, so to speak,
yes,
so people can see where we've got some common ground and where we're not aligned?
Absolutely. And that's my enterprise services.
Okay.
For major, typically a company has to be doing about $25 million plus to really afford that kind of service.
All right.
And then you use ProSci and project management for most other operations.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I come in on the ground with coaching and mentoring, which I'm doing right now with a number of clients.
Okay. I know that, you know, I mean, the statistics bear it out, is that most big change efforts within organizations fail.
73%+.
Yeah, and usually it's a people-related issue that undermines it, which is always, you know, it's not the change itself. It's the people's response and reaction to the change. What's your take on the issue of resistance to change?
I think, number one, we don't take the time to build rapport. For example, many parents with my strategic intervention work, they'll say they don't know how to speak with their significant other or their children. And my response is, do you believe in a generation gap? And most people say, yes, there's generation gaps. I say, well, there's your first mistake. It's an interest gap.
Mm.
So, for example, I'm here today because we have a commonality. One, we like to work on human development. Two, we both have had experience in radio, terrestrial, internet.
Well, I don't know if you could say I guess technically. Go ahead.
Right. So those are two areas right there.
Right.
So when you're speaking to someone of a younger age group, and by the way, I just left a gentleman in Delaware who's 19 years old. He's a total introvert.
Really?
And I mentor him for a company called Year Up, a fantastic organization. It helps young students get IT and finance. This is not McDonald's-type jobs.
Right.
These are high Fortune 1000 jobs.
Okay.
Internship for 6 months, and then classes for 6 months. And the internships are with these companies.
Who sponsors these? The company?
The company does. This gentleman came out of IT.
Mm-hmm.
He made a lot of money, and he wanted to invest in the youth of our country.
Okay, good for him.
So the same thing with when we talk about a disconnect to your question. First of all, have an earnest interest in the other person's
perspective,
in their interest.
Right. Okay.
Just like Peter Drucker, we've come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Peter Drucker goes back 30, 40 years. If you embrace somebody's interest earnestly, honestly,
or accept it, right?
Well, you may not have to accept it. But there's another nuance.
Okay.
The point is, you're building rapport.
So you have to make at least an effort to understand it.
At least understand it.
Right.
And then let them talk to you and say, okay, I think to a great extent our society says, I'm right, you're wrong. It's on or it's off. It's one or
yeah,
it's two.
Yeah, black or white.
It's black or white. And that's not...
No, it's not the real world.
It's like, you know, when we work with husbands and wives in business, who's the captain, who's steering, and who's the rudder?
Mm-hmm.
On a ship, they're equally as important. So the disconnect is, I want to listen to you, I want to hear, I don't mind spending the time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm willing to learn from your perspective. And when I walk away, in reflection, it's the reflection that we give, any topic is where we start to hardwire the learning.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people are focusing on the reflection issue as critical to learning.
Absolutely. We do in our change management program, we say, what is your definition of learning? People say not making the same mistake. I say it's in being in a place of not knowing. Because when you're in a place of not knowing, you have to learn.
Yeah.
Someone puts you in a town, you don't know. What's the first thing you do? Right? It's oh my goodness, the law. Not Maslow's law. Oh my goodness, I should know.
First,
the hierarchy of needs.
Oh yeah, that's Maslow.
Right? It's Maslow's law. Right.
Right.
Safety.
Yep. Physical.
Food.
Right.
Shelter.
Yep.
Then self-actualization.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, you guys have just gone way over my head.
No, you studied Maslow with me.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm talking about that. You both understand each other, and I'm just curious if the members of our audience are as confused as I am to some degree. But see if I'm...
Okay, hang on to that thought. We got to go to commercial break, and then we will give you your opportunity to test.
Show my ignorance.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but if you say so.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Art, you were before the commercial break. You were raising some questions. So
I just think that I'm trying to get to grasp what you guys seem to intuitively understand about one another and about what you're talking about. And I guess where I'm going with this is, as an attorney, I'm just a simple person who a client comes to me. They've got a problem. I try to solve their problem. I'm only being responsive to them. They're the only person I owe my efforts to. However, what I'm understanding, I think, from Ronald and from you is that you guys are coming from
a lot of different stakeholders
of big corporations, and the different stakeholders are all those people that have been so trained in completely different areas. You've got finance, you've got IT, you've got. And these are not only are they different types of people with different inclinations, but they certainly have different interests, different motivations, and different training.
Yeah.
And now understand that where Ron is being useful and marketable is to try to take all those different people and put them together
as soon as you set up that kind of a functional department, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be functional. That in essence becomes a wall. It really does. And it's needed for the coordination of things. But by the same token, it does send up barriers and it makes it more difficult for people to communicate. I can remember I was working on
this is kind of new to me because the last time I was really talking about human relations and management was back in the 70s when we were at school.
Okay.
And I don't have to think in those terms.
No,
but I can see how a lot of people do, and how it's necessary to have somebody there to coach them. Right.
Ron, there's one other thing I did want to ask you about because it's you've got a very interesting slogan on your website. It says identifying intangible assets in producing tangible results. Tell us more about that, because I'm not sure I understand it.
Okay. Number one, it's a catchy slogan to get a question, so that
it works.
More importantly, though, at the end of the day, take anyone's day. You wake up 4, 5, 6 o'clock. You've gone through your daily chores. You've gone to work. You've picked up the children. You've had the dog shampooed. You've had some bad experiences. You've had some great experiences. What is the one thing we all can acknowledge at the end of the day?
We survived.
That's an intangible.
We're tired.
We're exhausted. And that's real. Now, when we say, and we might say an expression such as thank you, and you can finish the word because you might be Hindu, Muslim, Christian, what have you. Call the entity however you wish.
Right.
It is the intangible value and belief in what is intrinsically necessary for us to survive. The abusive spouse, the micromanager supervisor, the relentless requests on our daily capability to deliver.
Okay, so these are some of the stresses and demands that are being made on the person.
Absolutely. What gets us through, though, is an intangible force that we believe. It's called self-efficacy. It's called stick-to-itiveness. It's called belief. Some people call it faith.
Does it have to do with people's values?
Certainly.
Okay.
Absolutely. You find that if people have nothing over and above themselves to believe in,
right,
they are less likely to believe that they can achieve things. There are only three elements, by the way, that humans need to exist, and they're all intangibles. One, I must always be engaged in my personal development.
All right.
Two, I must always be learning. Now, don't confuse the two. Learning is a very different exercise than just doing things.
But it's a form of development, is it not?
It certainly is.
All right.
But not everyone that has the experience learns.
Understood.
We know that. And the most important is I must always give back. Right? Giving, I did a paper called The Selfish Act of Giving.
Right.
And it's because when you give, if you go to any kind of assistance program and you help people.
It builds self-esteem.
Well, you also recognize that the person you're helping has strengths and resources that you didn't know.
Ah.
You did not realize.
So you come to appreciate the differences.
Exactly. Back to full circle again.
Okay.
Yep. Building rapport.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for you personally, I mean, you know, obviously you feel very strongly about the work you do. What is it that, you know, motivates you?
My parents were very different people. My father was, what's the weather like? What's the temperature going to be? Do we have an umbrella?
Very analytical and planning. And
very cautious, very careful.
Right.
My mother, on the other hand, would jump out of bed, start naked, run down the road, getting dressed, saying, "Let's go."
Ah, that must have made for some interesting dynamics.
And what I found was I take the two personalities. Another aspect is in reading about other people's lives, not just the people who are very fortunate to live robust lives and industrious lives, but say the average person. The expression is the mother and father that's cultivating their family and stays together.
Right.
That's an incredible skill. That's an incredible bond. We've lost the value and the meaning of that. And you don't have to steep it, say, in theology. Just the human condition, the humanity of taking care of another human being.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself is an incredible strength, certainly given today's drama.
Well, it also contributes to a sense of purpose. There's no question about that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've got about a minute before we need to wrap up. So where do you go from here?
Tonight, I have one more meeting with the group.
A training session or?
It's more of a consulting session where we're going to talk about alignment optimization and where this organization is going to go.
All right.
How they're going to move forward. On a daily basis, I do my Facebook live chat in the mornings, 30 minutes. I enjoy constantly networking and finding opportunities to provide services. I look forward to a long life that I'm not necessarily breaking bricks and stones to make a living, which unfortunately some are having to, even at my age.
Sure.
And I don't believe in saying retiring myself out of work because I don't consider this work.
Okay.
Right. I'm really.
It's more than that.
It is, and the best way for me to explain it is, Maya Angelou and Oprah Winfrey had a conversation once, and Oprah Winfrey said to Maya Angelou, "My legacy is my school that I've built in South Africa," and Maya Angelou said, "You have no idea of your legacy. Your legacy transcends the physical.
It's more than that. Yeah.
And it's the people that you impact
that you've impacted
forward.
Sure.
They go forward with a different message."
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
If people want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, Ron, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, the fastest way is just Google Ronald M. Allen, and you will definitely see me on the Google platform. You can go to my website, ronaldmallen.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to my community site, Managing Change 2, numeric 2, by the way, at the end.
Right.
And I think that's really the best way to get in touch with me, because no matter where you are, as long as you have a smartphone, ronaldmallen.com, Ronald M. Allen, Managing Change, numeric 2, you'll find me. My phone numbers are all there.
Okay. Thank you very, very much for joining us. Art, anything you want to add before we close out the show?
No, it was fascinating. You got me thinking, right? At first I thought it was over my head, and now I'm just kind of grasping on and holding on and taking it with me.
Well, we'll
thank you.
We'll have Ronald back a second time, and maybe more of it will sink in for both of us next time around. Repetition, right?
I'm a little thick, but I think you got through.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week, and you've been listening to The Human Side on the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fixed.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
It's kind of hard seeing your hometown be like this and just to be helpless.
Residents in Southern California remain in disbelief at how much damage the wildfire has caused in such a little amount of time. The fire has burned over 55,000 acres as of late last night and has destroyed at least 150 homes and structures. This man is keeping things in perspective, though.
This is what matters. We're all here. This is our family right here, you know, and the rest of it's stuff.
And moving forward, the U.S. will officially recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and begin the process of moving its embassy there from Tel Aviv, according to President Trump earlier today. President Trump also said the U.S. remains committed to an agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians.
This decision is not intended in any way to reflect a departure from our strong commitment to facilitate a lasting peace agreement.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, health care expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Find out more. Call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. Bible, now available in Montana, 833-39-BIBLE.
President Donald Trump is formally recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Well, not everyone is happy about this, including Congressman Denny Heck of Washington. Take a listen.
I think it's going to both literally and figuratively blow up the peace process in the Middle East. We know it's a bad idea because every ally and friend we have is telling us it's a